Amud Aleph, the fifth line. We learned in the Mishnah about various mitzvahs that have to be done by day, and we said they can be done anytime during the day, and certain mitzvahs that have to be done by night, and they can be done anytime during the night. So we said there were two of them, that the whole night is kosher for harvesting the omer. How do we know that night? Because we learn in a brisa in Menachos. Siro Sfira Balaila, the harvesting and the counting of the Omer takes place by night, which in turn the point is because the Pasuk says you have to have Sheva Shabbos Tmimos, 7 whole weeks. So whole implies that you have to start from the night, because otherwise a day in Halacha begins by the night before. So therefore you have to start counting from the night before, and since the Pasuk puts together the counting and the harvesting, then it means that the harvesting also takes place by night. And again, once we said that it's kosher by night, then the avar by yom, and then the actual bringing of the omer takes place by day. So once we say it can be by night, then it can be any time during the night. Next, we said oh, hekto chalavim ve'evarim. The other thing that you can do all night is burn the leftover fats and the leftover pieces of the korbanos. You can kol alayla ad habayker, as the pasuk says, you can do it throughout the night until the morning. So you see it can be any time through the night. Tosfos points out, based on other Gemaras, that it does have to be that at least they started getting burnt before Chatzos. But anyway, once that's done, then yes, they can be burnt all night. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Zachlal, the general rule, Davash Mitzvah Sabayom Kosher Kolayom, something where the mitzvah of it is to be done by day is kosher throughout the entire day. So Zachlal Lasuyamai, so what does that general rule come to include? What other mitzvahs are there that have to be by day that we haven't listed in the Mishnah? And the answer is Lasuya Sidur Bazichin, Besiluk Bazichin. It comes to include the setting up the Bazichin, the spoonfuls of Ktoras, the spoonfuls of Levoina that go on the Shulchan together with the Lechem Aponim, and taking them off, that those can be any time during the day. In which case, when the Mishnah says Zaklal, is going according to Rabbi Yossi. The Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Silika Sayishana Shachris, if you took off the old Lechem Aponim and the Bozichin with it, if you took that all off in the morning, Vesidu Esa Chadosha Arvis, and then you set up the new Lechem Aponim and the new Bozichin in the afternoon, Ein Bekach Klum. There's no problem with that. Unlike the Chachamim, who disagree with Rabbi Yossi and say that the new Lechem Aponim has to be put on exactly at the same time that the old one is being taken off. So according to the Chachamim, you have one group of Kohanim are pulling off the old Lechem Aponim, and at the same time, another group of Kohanim are pushing in the new Lechem Aponim. But Rabbi Yossi says, so according to the Chachamim then, now according to the Chachamim, it is also true that that can be done anytime during the day, but we don't see them saying so explicitly. Rabbi Yossi, we see more explicitly that he says that even you could set up, you could take off the old ones and put on the new ones anytime during the day, and there's no problem with that. So what do we do with the pasuk that says that there has to be lechem upon him on the table, tamid, means always, means shaloyeh shulchan b'lo lechem. It just means that the shulchan can't be left overnight without lechem upon him on it. But as long as sometime before the end of the day, you put new lechem upon him, and new bazichan on it, then you're fine. So that's the Zachlal is coming to add that point. Now, of course, once we say that the bazichan can be put anytime during the day, according to Rabbi Yossi, automatically that means the lechem aponim itself can be put. But the point is, we wanted to stress the bazichan in order that we should realize that those go together with the lechem aponim. We said in the Mishnah, Davash mitzvah sebalayla kosher kol alayla, something where the mitzvah is to do it by night can be done all night. Lasuya mai, so what does that come to include? So lasuya, achilas psachim, that comes to include eating the korban Pesach, and therefore, deloy k'rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, which means that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who says that you can eat it only until Chatzos. The Tanya, we learn in a brisa, when the pasuk says, v'ochlo sabosa balayla hazeh, they should eat the meat of the korban Pesach on this night. So how much of the night do you have? We have a gzera shava. Nema kan balayla hazeh. V'nema lahalan v'avavti be'eretz mitzrayim balayla hazeh. So you have the same before. He's balayla hazeh. Ma lahalan ad chatzos. Af kan ad chatzos. The same way as Makas Bechoros took place at chatzos. And after that, all the firstborn mitzrayim were dead. The same way, eating the Korban Pesach can only be until chatzos. So according to him, Now it does say in the first Mishnah in Brachas that the Chachamim made a takana kedei laharchik as adam in avera. But we're talking about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says never mind takana of the Chachamim. It's actually daraisa that you can't eat it past chatzos. So therefore, our Mishnah couldn't go according to him. Tosfos discusses that nevertheless we do have a stam Mishnah at the end of Pesachim that says that after chatzos you can't eat the korban Pesach, and therefore. Since you have in general the halacha is like a stam mishnah, so okay, if we have two stam mishnas, then we're going to give preference to the one which is in its place, namely in Masechet Pesachim, where it talks about these dinim, rather than here where it's mentioning it incidentally. So therefore, Tosfos says that would mean that nowadays we don't have a korban Pesach, but it would mean that we'd have to eat the matzah by chatzos, and that is in fact. So that's what we do. That's why on the first. So our minhag is on the first night. We make sure to eat the afikomen by chatzos because the afikomen represents the korban Pesach. On the second night already, since the second night is only takona, is only minig avasein of yadenu, then therefore we'll make on it and we allow and we eat it long after chatzos. But that's all based on this idea that Tosfos says the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah that you can't eat the korban Pesach after chatzos. Hadron halacha kodelam afreya. The next two prakim of our Masechta are going to be talking. So we're going to start over here with a little bit about the dinim of Kriyas HaMegillah, but mostly we're going to be digressing. Mostly we're going to be segueing into talking about the dinim of Kriyas HaTorah in general. And there's the idea Kriyas HaMegillah is a takana of the Chachamim, so is Kriyas HaTorah. So therefore, it makes sense to put them together. And in general, then we're also going to talk about the dinim of a shul and the dinim of Tefillah B'Tzibur. The parak that we're about to start now, Akodes HaMegillah, in many different versions of the Mishnayos, this is actually the last parak. We have it in front of us here as the third parak, but in the Mishnayos, in the Yerushalmi, in the Rif, they all have it as the fourth parak, and the next parak after that is the third. So the Mishnah starts off, Akodes HaMegillah, when a person is reading the Megillah, Oymed V'Yoshev, he can be standing or he can be sitting. Kra echad. If one person reads the Megillah, kra or shnayim, or if two people are reading it at the same time, yotzu. Either way, they yotze. Now we have a concept called trei koli lo mishtami, that two voices can't be heard one over the other. But as the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah, since the Megillah is chaviv, since people are excited about hearing it, therefore they're going to pay attention and listen to it, even if you have two people laying together. Continues the Mishnah. Makom shenagu levarech yivarech. In a place where they have the minhag to say a bracha on the Kriyas HaMegillah, then they say it. V'shaloi levarech lo yivarech. In a place where the minhag is not to, then you don't. We're going to see in the Gemara that this is talking about the after bracha, the bracha haravas rivenu. The brachas before it, you definitely have to say. There's no such thing as different minhagim about it. So now again, we're going to digress to talking about Kriyas HaTorah. So the Mishnah continues, Basheni Bachamishi Bashabas Mincha, on Monday and on Thursday and on Shabbos by Mincha, where you have a takona of Ezra that they should lane at those times. Kodin Shlosha, they have to call up three people read. Now we're going to talk about on Amud Beis. In the times of the Gemara, everybody who got an Aliyah would lane their own Kriya. Eventually, over time, it developed. Not everybody knows how to lane, and it was embarrassing to people. So therefore, they came up with the concept of a Baal Kodeh who reads it on behalf of the Oila. The Oila still follows along quietly inside. We'll talk about that on Amud Beis. So Monday and Thursday and Shabbos Mincha, Kodin Shloisha, three people read from the Torah. Ein Poichs in Mehan, we can't have less than three Aliyahs. The Ein Meisif in Aliyah, we can't add to those three Aliyahs. Rashi says, because Monday and Thursday are days people want to go to work, it's not right to be matriach tzibur by calling up more people for aliyahs. And Shabbos Mincha is laned very late in the day because most of the day they've been daushening in Torah, and by the time they get to Mincha is very late in the day. So therefore, no extra aliyahs. They're in Maftir and Manavi, and for the same reason, you don't say Af Torah from Navi. Now one exception to that, of course, is that mincha of Tainus Tzibur, you do have Torah. Next, HaPoseach v'Achoisim b'Torah, the one who begins leaning from the Torah and the one who finishes leaning from the Torah, Mevorach l'Poneo l'Achoreo, makes the bracha before and after it. In other words, we're going to see in the Gemara, what it means is the original takana was when you have three aliyahs, let's say. So the first oila says the bracha before the Torah, Ashabacha b'Anim Mikol Amim. Then he leans his portion. Then the second oila does not say a bracha, and he leans his portion. And the third oila reads his portion and then finishes off with the bracha asher nasan lanu Torah semes. So you only had one, you only had two brachas on the entire reading, one at the beginning of the first aliyah and one at the end of the last aliyah. But later on, as the Gemara is going to say, they changed that for reasons that we'll talk about in the Gemara. Next, Roshei Chodoshim of a Cholosh on Moed and Rosh Chodesh and on Chol HaMoed, which have a higher level of Kedusha, Koren Abba. Then on those days, we have four people called up for the Torah. Ein Pechsin Mehen Vein Mesifin Alehen. Again, we cannot do fewer aliyahs than that or more aliyahs than that. Now, it's true that those have a higher level of Kedusha. But on the other hand, the fact is, even on Chol HaMoed, as we're going to learn in the next Masechta, we're going to learn in Moed Katan, Bez Tashem, that there are certain kinds of malacha that you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed, Dabar Avod, for example. So therefore, the Chachamim didn't want to make it that you're going to have to, that you're going to have extra aliyahs, and that would be a tircha of the tzibur. And the same thing on Rosh Chodesh. The Ein Maftirin Manavi, and again, you don't do Af Torah from Nevi'im for the same reason. HaPeseach V'Achosim V'Torah M'Vorach V'Paneo L'Achorea. The one who begins, the one who does the first aliyah, the one who gets the first aliyah does the beginning bracha. The one who does the last aliyah says the ending bracha. They make the bracha before and after. Tosfos asks, why did the Mishnah have to repeat that phrase every time? And the answer is, you would have thought that maybe as we add more aliyahs, maybe the extra oilim should in fact be adding extra brachas. No, we're saying it's always the case that according to the original takana, that the first oila says the first bracha, the last oila says the last bracha, and nobody in between says anything. Okay, the Mishnah continues. Zaklal, here's the general rule. Kol sheyesh be musaf be'ino yomtiv, whenever you have a day on which you daven musaf, but it's not a yomtiv, namely Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, Koren Abba, then you read, then you have four oila, you have four aliyahs, the yomtiv chamisha. On Yom Tov, you have five aliyahs. The Yom HaKippurim Shisha. On Yom Kippur, you have six aliyahs. The Shabbos Shiva. And on Shabbos, you have seven aliyahs. So as you go up in Kedusha, then you have more aliyahs. Ein Pechsin Mehen. You can't reduce the number of aliyahs. Avol Mesifin Aleihen, but you can add aliyahs to them. Now here you have a Machlokes Rishonim. Which ones can you add aliyahs to? On the face of it, the Mishnah is saying that all of them, Yom Tov and Yom Kippur and Shabbos, you can add more aliyahs as you need to. However, the Ran says that no. The Ran said, so somebody showed him, for example, the Rambam learned that way. The Ran, on the other hand, says no. He says the problem is, if you add more aliyahs and Yom Tov, then it looks like you're making it of the same level of Kedusha as Yom Kippur. If you add aliyahs and Yom Kippur, it looks like you're making it the same level of Kedusha of Shabbos. So therefore, he says the only one of these where you could add aliyahs would be on Shabbos. In Shulchan Aruch, it brings that in principle the halacha is like the Rambam. Nevertheless, we should be machmir like the Ran. So most of the time we do that. Most of the time, then, even in places, and we're going to talk in a minute now about why it is that Minhag Chabad is not to add aliyahs anyway. But we'll get back to that in a minute. But even in those places where they add aliyahs, they don't generally do it on Yom Tov or on Yom Kippur, with the exception of Simchat Torah, because everybody wants an aliyah then. So therefore we allow ourselves to follow the Rambam's shita that you can add as many aliyahs as you want on Yom Tov, but the rest of the year we try to follow the Ran and not do that. Now a different point is. So we're going to talk about on Amud Beis that eventually the Chachamim made a change and said that every Oila should make the bracha before and after, as we do nowadays. So now the Magen Avraham brings from the Tashbetz. He says in that case, maybe that creates a problem. When there were only two brachas for the entire Kriya, then you can add extra aliyahs and you're not adding any extra brachas. But now when you have two brachas for every oila, don't you have a problem that if you add aliyahs unnecessarily, then you're doing brachas that are unnecessary? So the Tashbetz says, maybe in fact nowadays you shouldn't be adding aliyahs. So the Magen Avraham says, okay, I mean, that's not really such a strong, objection. After all, already in the time of the Gemara, they made that change, and yet the Gemara didn't mention anything about that change in the halacha. Nevertheless, the Alter Rebbe follows that opinion, and that is why our minhag is that we don't add extra aliyahs. So even you have people, for example, you have cases, you have more than one person wants, you have, let's say, for example, a bar mitzvah, and you have a bunch of people want aliyahs or another simcha, or you have the Shabbos before, before Yud Shvat, or the Shabbos before Gimel Tammuz, whatever. Instead of adding aliyahs, we just split up into separate minyanim in order to respect the opinion of the Tashbetz that the Magen Avraham brings, that you might not be able to add more aliyahs because it might be a bracha levatala. Okay, so the Mishnah continues. Umachtirin banavi, and on Yom Tov and in Kippur and Shabbos, you also say haftorah from Navi. Because again, those days you're not working. Okay, Yom Tov you can do malachas eichel nefesh, but still it's not like therefore you're in such a rush that you can't add time for a haftorah. So therefore you do. And the one who begins the laning says the first bracha, and the one who ends the laning says the last bracha. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tana, we learned in a braisa, when we said at the beginning of the Mishnah that you can read the Megillah standing or sitting, Masha'enkin b'Torah, unlike with the Torah, when you're reading the Torah, b'tzibur, then you cannot be sitting. So Manani, where do we know that from? Because the pasuk says, Hashem says to Moshe when he's coming up to Har Sinai to get the rest of the Torah after the Aser said after Matan Torah, but after Poi Amoid Imadi, you now stand with me. So we see therefore that you have to learn Torah. Standing. But Amar Rabbo, in fact, Rabbo says, Il Mole Mikra Kosu, if the pasuk hadn't been phrased that way, E Efshal Omer, it would be impossible for us to say such a thing ourselves. How could we speak of Hashem as standing? But the pasuk says it, so therefore it means that it's a valid way of describing it. Kavyocho Afa Kadosh Baruch Hu Ba'Amida, so to speak, Hashem himself is standing. Amoid Imodi means stand here with me. So in other words, Moshe is standing, and Kavyocho Hashem himself is standing also and teaching Moshe. So you see that teaching Torah has to be done standing. Tosfos, by the way, points out an interesting linguistic thing that you have throughout Shas. There's a word ilmole in Gemara, and you have it has two opposite meanings. Sometimes the word ilmole means if not, like it means over here. Ilmole mikra kosev, were it not that the pasuk was written that way, then it would be impossible to say it. Sometimes instead you have ilmole, which means if. For example, Tosfos brings a Gemara from Ksubas that if they had whipped Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, then they would have bowed to Nebuchadnezzar's statue. So there, the Yomole means if. So Tosfos says actually that Rabbeinu Tam says there's actually a difference in spelling. Ilmole meaning were it not is spelled with an aleph at the end. Ilmole meaning if it were, then it is spelled with a yud at the beginning. So they actually mean two different things. Ilmole with an aleph is short for ilu loy, were it not. And ilmole with a yud means ilu hoya. It's short for ilu hoya, if it were. Anyway, so in our Gemara over here, we're using ilmole with an aleph, that were it not written in the pasuk, amoidi modi, we could never describe it that way. But the pasuk is describing for us that Hashem is, so to speak, standing there and teaching Moshe Rabbein. How do we know that when a Rebbe is teaching his Talmidim Torah, he shouldn't be sitting on a couch, and he's teaching his Talmidim who are sitting on the ground? So either it should be, Rashi says, both of them are on couches, or both of them are on the ground. How do we know that? As the pasuk we just said, where Hashem says to Moshe, you stand with me, implying that you have to be on an equal level. We learn in a braisa in this connection, from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu until the time of Rav Gamliel. This is Rav Gamliel HaZaken, a few years before Churban Bais Sheni. So you're talking a period of around 1300 years. Loi hayu lemedin Torah ela me'omod, they would learn Torah only standing. Mishemes Rav Gamliel, after Rav Gamliel passed away, yorad choyli la'olam, sickness came to the world. People are not as strong as they used to be. So from then on, they're learning Torah sitting down because they don't have the strength to stand up and learn anymore. This is what it means. A Mishnah at the end of Sota, where it has, the Mishnah has a whole list over there of when this Tana passed away, then this thing disappeared from the world. And when that Tana passed away, then that thing disappeared. And it says there, Mishmes Rav Gamliel, when Rav Gamliel Azakin, that is, passed away, Boto Kvod Torah, the honor of Torah was canceled. So meaning, in other words, it was an honorable thing that Torah should be learned standing up. And until Rav Gamliel's time, they were able to do that. But now, after he passed away, now that covet of Torah went away. And from then on, they learned sitting down. However, the Gemara points out, so you're telling me that Moshe was standing on Har Sinai, but Kosev Echad Omer V'eshev Bahar, one Pasuk says, Moshe described, he said, I sat on the mountain, V'Kosev Echad Omer V'Anochi Amati Bahar. Another Pasuk says, I stood on the mountain. So what is it? Was he sitting or was he standing? Now, Maharsha points out, I mean, these two Pesukim are talking about two different times when he was on the mountain. The Pasuk V'eshev Bahar is talking about the first 40 days, until the Chet Egel, and the Vanuchi Amati Bahar is talking about the second set of is talking about the second set of 40 days when he's asking Hashem to forgive the Jewish people. Nevertheless, since it says Kayomim Harishonim, that these second 40 days were like the first 40 days, then that means the posture that he was in was the same. So if he was sitting the first time, then he's sitting the second time. But then why does it say Vo'eshev, but then it says Amati? So the Gemara gives four answers. Omar Rav, Oimid, Veloimid, Yoshev, Veshoinim. It means that Moshe would stand up in order to learn the thing to begin with from Hashem. Then he would sit down and review it, to review it for himself, to make sure that he knows it thoroughly, that he would sit down to do. Rab Chanina Omar, Loi Oimid, Velo Yoshev, Ela Shoichem. Rab Chanina says he wasn't standing or sitting. He was bent over out of respect for Hashem and respect for the Torah. And therefore, being bent over can be described as both standing and sitting. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Rabbi Yochanan says a third answer, that the word va'eshev v'ho doesn't mean I sat at all. En yeshiva ela loshen akava. the word yeshiva over here doesn't mean sitting, it means staying. Shenema v'teshev v'kodesh, yomim rabim. As the Pasuk says, you stayed in Kodesh for many years after the Chet HaMeraglim. So we see that the Shodesh Yoshav doesn't always mean to sit. So the same way, Vo'eshev Bahar doesn't mean I sat on the mountain, it means I stayed on the mountain. But how did he stay? Standing up. Rava Omar, Rava says a fourth answer. Rakais Ma'umad, the easier things that a person can pick up easily, Ma'umad, those he would stand up in order to learn, Rakashais Miyoshav, but the things that are more difficult to understand, those he would sit down in order to learn, to be able to focus on them. But we're saying that after Rav Gamliel's time, even the rakos, even the easier things, we learn sitting down. Okay, but in any case, we're saying that because of that, when you're laning the Torah B'tzibur, you can't be sitting; you have to be standing. The truth is that Rambam does say that when you're laning the Megillah for the Tzibur, then you have to stand up anyway, not so much because of the Megillah per se. We said the Megillah is different than the Torah in that regard, but because of covered Tzibur. We said We said if one person reads the Megillah or two people are reading at the same time, then they're Yotze. Tana, now we learned a Braisa, Mash Enkin, but Torah. Again, the Torah is unlike that. You cannot have two people laning at the same time because then you're not going to be able to hear. Now, the fact that we have nowadays a Balkode, so what happens is then when the Balkode is laning, you can't have the Oila be reading with a voice together with him, because then you have the problem of two people laning at the same time. That is why the Oila reads along with the Balkode in a whisper, in order not, this way you don't have two people laning loudly at the same time. So the Gemara says, Tanan Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, but Torah Echad Kodav Echad Metargim, when it comes to laning the Torah, you have one person laning, and you have one person saying the Targum. They used to, in those days, we're going to talk about in more detail later on in our parak, they used to, after every pasuk of the Torah, they would say out the Aramaic translation, Targum Onkelos, because not everybody in those days knew Lashon Kodesh. The women and the Amei Oretz and whatever only knew Aramaic, so like this, they should be able to understand the Torah as well. So you can only have one person laning and a different person saying the Targum. But over Vajlo Yehe Echad Kodo Shnayim Metagumin, you cannot have one person laning and two people saying the Targum. And certainly, Rashi says, you certainly can't have two people laning at the same time. Again, the problem is Tre Koli Lo Mishnami, that you're not going to hear two voices at the same time. And the point is, the Targum of Chumash, since after all, from Chumash is where ultimately we learn the 613 mitzvahs, we want to make sure that people know, that people understand well what they're hearing. And therefore, we don't want to have that they're going to miss any part of it and then learn wrong things in halacha. So the Braisa continues. Now, on the other hand, when it comes to reading Nevi, when it comes to reading that Torah, then you could have one person laning the Haftorah and two people saying the Targum together, because after all, the Targum is only that the women and the Amei Ha'aretz should understand. Now, in the Torah, again, the Torah is the source of the 613 mitzvahs. We want to make sure that they know everything, that they don't misunderstand anything and think wrongly about what the halacha is. Nevi'im, anyway, for the most part, we don't learn mitzvahs from, so therefore, if they misunderstand something, if they don't hear something fully because two people are saying the Targum at the same time, then it's not as big a deal. Even by Nevi'im, though, you can't have two people laying it together and two people saying the Targum. You still can only have one person saying the Haftorah at a time. Again, the minhag is that when the Ola is reading the Haftorah, that people sit in their places and read the Haftorah to themselves. But again, they should be reading it quietly in order that other people are not hearing two voices at the same time. Continues the Braisa. Over halal of a Megillah, when it comes to halal and when it comes to the Megillah, I feel asara koden va asara metagumen. Then you can even have 10 people saying the words of halal or the Megillah and 10 people saying the Targum. Rashi takes out the words asara metagumen because there's no Targum on Ksuvim. We learned at the beginning of Amasekta that Yonas and Ben Uziel did the translation of Nevi'im, and then he wanted to do Ksuvim as well, and a Baskel came out and told him not to. And both Tilim, which is what Halal is from, and Megillah Esther are both from Ksuvim. So therefore, Rashi takes out the Asara Metagum. Tosfos says that's not necessary because, okay, the fact is there is a Targum on Tilim and on Megillah Esther. All it means is that Targum is not so authoritative because it wasn't composed by Yonas and Ben Uziel. But there was made sometime, these translations were made sometime in the time of the Tanoim. But nevertheless, they still existed. Anyway, so by those things, you can even have 10 people saying it together. And as and the Gersa that we have in front of us is you can have 10 people saying the Targum together. My time, why is that? Kivin de Chaviva, because since Hallel and the Megillah are Chaviv, because they don't come very often, Yahavi Datai over Shami, so people will pay attention and listen, and they'll hear, and they'll make sure to pick out the words and actually hear the whole thing. With that said, though, when you're laning the Megillah, now what you could do is you could have people who are laning from Kosher to Megillah written on parchment, and they can lane it together with the Baal Kodeh. But you can't have, if you have in front of you a printed Chumash or a printed Megillah Esther, then you can't, because then you're reading from something which is not Kosher to lane from, and then your voice is going to be drowning out the voice of the Chazan and the voice of the Baal Kodeh, and you can't do that. We said in the Mishnah, Makom Shenavu Lavarech Yivarech, in a place where the minhag is to say a bracha on the Megillah, then they say a bracha. So Amar Abaye Lo Shonu El Lacharel. That's only talking about after the Megillah, where there are different minhagim, whether to say a bracha after it. Aval Bonel Mitzvah Lavarech. But before reading the Megillah, there is a mitzvah to say the bracha, and there's no different minhagim on that. The Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel Kol Mitzvahs Kolan Mevarech Alein Over Lasiyosen. All mitzvahs, you make a bracha on them over to doing them. So over, as the Gemara is going to say, means before. So you have to do a bracha before, you have to say a bracha before you do the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, "My mashma dahai over lishna daf gumihu." Where do we see that the word over means to go ahead? Amar of Nachman Yitzchak, Amar Kro, because you have a pasuk that vayoratz achimat derech hakikar vayaver asakush. You have at the end of Avshalom's rebellion over there. So Avshalom has been killed. Yoav wants to send somebody to inform David of the news that the war is over. So you have Yoav wants to send a fellow, a Cushi, Achimatz, the son of the Kohen Gadol, wants to go instead because he figures he'll break the news more gently to David. So finally, Yoav says, "You can go," and he goes. He runs faster. He takes a shortcut, and by Yaver as a Cushi, and he passed the Cushi. So we see that the word over means to pass ahead of. Abaye Omer Mehacha. Abaye says you have a different source in a pasuk where we see that over means before. Vahu Ovar Lifnehem in Parshas Vayishlach, when Yaakov is getting ready for the confrontation with Esav, so he splits up the children together with their respective mothers, Rachel, Leah, and Bila and Zilpah and their respective children. And then the pasuk says Vahu Ovar Lifnehem, he passed in front of them. So again, we see that the word over means to go in front of. The boy Seba Mehacha. Another possibility is you could learn it from a pasuk Vayavar Malkav Lifnehem. Their king will pass in front of them, meaning Melech HaMashiach, Vashem Beroshem, and Hashem is at their head. So again, we see that the word Vayaver means to go ahead. Different achronim talk about why exactly we need three different psukim for this purpose. One thing is the Netziv actually talks about that maybe according to the opinion, maybe according to Rav Nachman Yitzchok, that we learn it from the pasuk about Achimatz. Achimatz started out behind the Kushi, and then he overtook him and was ahead of him. So maybe according to that, then you'd be able to start the bracha, and then in the middle of the bracha, you can do the actual mitzvah. Not Kriyas Megillah, of course, it's not relevant to do that, but with other mitzvahs that conceivably you could do while you're saying the bracha, maybe according to Rav Nachman Yitzchok, you would be allowed to do that. Whereas according to the other opinions, we would say that no, you have to say the entire bracha beforehand. Rishonim also point out the reason why that it uses this, why this unusual expression over las yosan, where then we need to explain what over means, is because it means not just some time before, it means right before. So you can't say the bracha and then 5 minutes later you're going to do the mitzvah. You have to say the bracha and then immediately do the mitzvah. That's over. That's right before. Okay. So the Gemara says, well, for now, my mevarach. Fine. What is the bracha before reading the Megillah? So the Gemara says, Rav Sheshes miKatrizia equal Kameh Rav Ashi. Rav Sheshes from Katrizia is the name of a place. One time what visited Rav Ashi. This is not the regular Rav Sheshes in Shas. That was the regular Rav Sheshes a couple of generations before. This is a different one. Anyway, so he one time visited Rav Ashi. Ubarich Manach. And he said three brachas before the Megillah, where the acronym for them is the word Manach. Al Mikra Megillah, Sha'asa Nisim, and Shehech Chiyonu. And that's what we do. Those are the three brachas that we say. What is the bracha in places where the minhag is to say the after bracha? What do we say? So Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Hakel HaRavos Ribeinu, Hashem who fights our battles, V'Hadonos Dineinu, who judges our cause, V'Hanokimus Nikmasenu, who takes revenge on our behalf, V'Hanifra Lanu Mitzareinu, who punishes our enemies, V'Hamashalim Gmulach Al Oyvei Nafshenu, and who gives all the enemies of our lives what they deserve. And we finish off. Baruch Atah Hashem Anifra L'Am Yisrael, Anifra L'Yisrael, Mikol Tzareihem. Blessed are you, Hashem, who pays back on behalf of the Jewish people all of their enemies. So Rava Omar Hokei LaMashiach. Rava says, no, you don't finish off with Hanifra L'Am Yisrael, Mikol Tzareihem. Rather, you finish off with Baruch Atah Hashem, Hokei LaMashiach. Blessed are you, Hashem, Hashem who saves. So the Papa says, since we have the stomach of the Gemara that says one thing and Rava saying something else, therefore we should say both of them. And we say both of them, and that way we yotze both. There's a vort that says on this, there are 10 places in Shas where a Papa does that, where you have different opinions what to say as far as a certain bracha, and there are 10 places in Shas where a Papa says, let's make a compromise and let's say like both of them. You have by here, you have the bracha on a rainbow, you have a bunch of others. In the schus of that is why a Papa had the 10 children who we mentioned by Asiyum, Chanina by Papa, Rami by Papa, etc., that he had 10 great children who were Tamar Chachamim, and Tamar Chachamim Ma'avim Shalom Ba'olam, in token of the fact that he brought Shalom among the Chachamim by making these compromises. So now, as far as what that we're saying, that there's different minhagim about saying the bracha, the general minhag is that we say this bracha only when there's a minyan. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Basheni b'chamishi b'shabbos b'mincha kodin shloisha chula. We said Monday and Thursday morning and Shabbos mincha, we have three aliyas. So hani shloisha k'negin mi. So three aliyas, what does that correspond to? It corresponds to the three segments of Tanakh, so therefore three aliyas. Rabba says it represents the three segments of the Jewish people. There is actually an interesting point. I think the Meiri says, if you think about it, you have on Monday and Thursday and Shabbos afternoon, you have three aliyas each, and you have one for the Kohen, one for the Levi, and one for the Yisrael. So altogether, between those three times, you have six aliyas for people from Shevet Levi and three for people from the rest of the Shvatim. Then you have Shabbos morning, you have two aliyas for people from Shevet Levi and five more for people from other Shvatim. So therefore, it comes out that you end up exactly balanced. You wind up with, throughout a regular week, you have eight aliyas for people from Shevet Levi and eight aliyas for the rest of the Shvatim. So that would be why the Chachamim set it up that way. So the Gemara says, Ela hodetoni rav shimi. Okay, so if you're telling me that the three corresponds to Torah, Nevi'im, Uksuvim, or that it corresponds to Kohenim, Levi'im, and Yisraelim, what about this that Rav Shimi taught a Braisa? Ein poichsin miyud psukim beis haknesses. You never lane less than 10 psukim in shul. And by daber oylam in aminyan, the pasuk by daber Hashem Moshe lemer counts as one of the 10, even though we don't really learn anything from that pasuk. It still counts as one of the 10. Sahani asora kenegimi. So where are we getting dafka 10 from? The 3 is koinim levim yisraelim or tonin levim and exuvim. But what does 10 correspond to? So we have a few answers. Amrav Shimon Levi. It corresponds to, we learned at the beginning of our Masechta that you have in a big city, you have to have 10 baklonim, 10 people who are available at all times to make a minyan in shul. So corresponding to them is why we have 10 psukim in Lenin. Rabbi Yosef Amar Kenegad Aseres HaDibros, Shenemar L'Moshe B'Sinai. Rabbi Yosef says it corresponds to the Aseres HaDibros. Rabbi Levi Amar Kenegad Asore Hilulim Shama David B'Sefer Tilim. Rabbi Levi says it corresponds to the 10 Hilulim, the 10 times it says Hallelujah, that David said in Tilim. But actually, the reason why that's in parenthesis is on the side over here, Maseres HaShas points out that's relevant in Rosh Hashanah when the Gemara is talking about how we know that you have to have 10 psukim for Malchias, 10 for Zechronis, 10 for Shofaris, then it's relevant to talk about that you have 10 Hilulim in, not in the whole Tilim, but in the last capital, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Kel B'Kodesh, Hallelujah, B'Kiyah Uzay, where you have 10 times, where you have 10 Hallelujahs over there. But that's relevant as far as that, in connection with Shofaris. That's not really relevant over here when it comes to Aliyahs, so therefore that's why it's in parenthesis, because it should be taken out. Rabbi Yochanan Omar. Rabbi Yochanan says another reason. It corresponds, the 10 psukim correspond to the 10 sayings with which Hashem made the world. So the Gemara says, hey, Ninu, Vayomer de Bereshis. So what are you going? You're counting through all the Vayomers that it says in Parashas Bereshis, of where it says that Hashem said such and such should be, and it came into being. Hani Tisha Habu. But if you count them, you only have 9. Where's the 10th? And the answer is Bereshis, Nami Maimahu. The answer is that the word Bereshis itself is also a Maimah of Hashem. In other words, means that Hashem said that there should be a beginning and that there should be a world and that there should be things in it. And then specifically out of that, then Hashem created the specific creatures. So Bereshis is also called a pasuk tichtiv. Dvar Hashem shamayim nasu uvruach piv kol tzvam. As the pasuk says, with the word of Hashem, the heavens were made, and with the breath of His mouth, all of their hosts were made. So we see when the pasuk says Bereshis bara elokim as a shamayim ves oretz, then it has to mean that Hashem created shamayim and oretz with a statement as well. There are many places in Chassidus where it talks about the idea that since at that point there were no Nivroim yet at all, so it's not really, we can't really use the word Vayomer, where Vayomer implies, after all, that you're speaking, so to speak, to something else, where here there is no something else, and therefore it couldn't say Vayomer, and that Bereshis is the mocker, is the shodesh for all of the other Vayomers, etc. So in any case, those are the various sources where we learn 10 psukim, that you have to have at least 10 psukim lain in shul. Tosfos points out one exception, the parasha of Vayavai Amalek that we lain, Torah morning. There's only 9 psukim in it. So Tosfos says, okay, there's really no choice over there. You can't really do any psukim before or after it. The topic is finished in those 9 psukim. So therefore we have no choice. With that said, there are kehilas where they have the minhag to repeat the last tosif in order that they should have 10. That's not our minhag though. Okay. So the Gemara says, Omar Rava. Now, so we're saying that you need 10 psukim. We're saying you have 3 aliyahs. 10 doesn't divide evenly by 3. So it means at least one oila is going to have 4 psukim. So Amar Rava, Rishin Jakarta Dalad Mishabah, if the first Ola reads 4 psukim, then he's praiseworthy. Sheni Jakarta Dalad Mishabah, so is the second one if he chooses to read the 4 psukim. Shlishi Jakarta Dalad Mishabah, and so is the third one, which means Rashi says there are 2 possibilities. One is that the first one, if the first one goes ahead and voluntarily on his own reads 4 psukim, they didn't have divisions like nowadays we have in the Siddurim. We have the divisions where exactly each aliyah begins and ends. But in those times they didn't. You could make up your own breaks as long as they followed the rules that we're going to learn about later on in our parak. So if the first oila voluntarily goes and reads 4 psukim, then good. If the first one did not, and the second one volunteers to do so, then also he's Mishrobach. Or for that matter, Rashi says, even if the first one did read 4 psukim, the second one could also read 4 psukim. And then the same thing with the third one. So if each of them reads 4 psukim, then they're all Mishrobach. But each one who does. Now, how do we see that? That the four psukim, it's just as valid if any one of them does it. Rishon shekara dalav mishubach. We see that first one reads four psukim, he's best, because we see in other places where the first one has an advantage. The tnan, we learn in a mishnah in shkolim. The shalosh kupas shal shalosh sin. They used to do the trumas al lishka. They would take out the money of the matzah shekel from the lishka where they stored it in order to they'd take out baskets of it in order to spend on the korbanos and the other operating expenses of the bismikdash. So they had three baskets of three saw each, shabahen terminus alishka, which they would use those to take out the money from the lishka, v'yakosav alein aleph beis gimel, and they were labeled with the letters aleph beis gimel. Later, ezman nitrum arishon, to know which one they had put the money in first, lahakri menurisha, and that way they can offer from it first, shemitzvah berishon, because the ideal mitzvah is with the first one. So we see that the first one has an advantage, and therefore, when it comes to Elias, if the first one does four psukim, then he's mishubach. Next, emtsoi shekara abba mishubach. Where do we see that if the middle ola does the four psukim, then he's mishubach? The Tanya. We learn in a braisa, el mul pneam amenorah ya'iru, when it says that the other candles of the menorah should be turned toward the face of the menorah, means malamet shem tzadid pneam klapin ner ma'arovi. This teaches us that he would turn the wicks on the two sides of the menorah facing toward the ner ma'arovi. The ner ma'arovi klapin shchina. The ner ma'arovi itself would be facing towards the shchina. It would be tilted towards the west. Now, our Gemara is going according to the opinion. There's a machloikas in Menachas whether the menorah was placed from east to west or from north to south. So, if we say it was placed from north to south, then our Gemara doesn't follow. If we say it was placed east to west, then that doesn't work with our Gemara, because then the middle one is not any more special than the other ones. But if we say that it was placed north to south, then, in other words, all of the lamps of the menorah are an equal distance from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and so all of the middle, the six side ones would be facing the middle one, and the middle one would be tilted towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You see from here, therefore, that the middle is the Meshubach. So the same way, if the middle Ola does the four Psukim, then he's praiseworthy for that. And V'achron Shekara Abba Meshubach. And if the last Ola does the four Psukim, again, as Rashi had said, whether in fact there were Olim before him who already did four, or whether he's the first one to do four, so how do we know he's Meshubach? Mishum Malin Bakodesh Vole Meridin. Because, as we say, you go up in Kedusha, not down. So given that, if the previous Olim did three psukim each, then it's only right that the last one should be going up and doing four. If each of them already did four, then fine, you should definitely be going up. You shouldn't be going down, so he should do four as well. I think Gemara says, Rapapa ikwal abe knishta de Abi Guber. Rapapa one time visited the shul of Abi Guber, which is either that was the name of the neighborhood that the shul was in. It could be the name of the person who ran the shul, whatever it is. The Kora Rishin Arba. The first Ola read four psukim, the Shabche Rapapa, and Rapapa praised him on the grounds of Zrizin Makdimin Lemitzvah, that he was the Zoriz and went ahead and was the first one to read not just three psukim, which is the bare minimum, but rather to read four psukim. Okay. Shkoyach, everyone.